for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, July the 2nd, 2006. Rodney Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of Jael.
This is my lovely wife. Stand up and take a bow, honey. Now you talk about a blessed woman. To have to spend almost 30 years with me, I promise you she's blessed. Greetings. How many of you are happy about what the Lord's doing in your life? How many of you don't know what the Lord's doing in your life? How many of you are lying? Hallelujah. Behold, the Lord would say unto thee, for now is the time, saith the Lord, that yea, the season of the Lord God is upon thee, and I, the Lord, will begin to change thy atmosphere, saith the Lord. For yea, thy season is upon thee. I shall begin to birth forth even in thy midst, saith the Lord. An apostolic input, saith God. Yea, I would say unto thee, for you have sat in the back long enough and said unto the Lord your God, Lord, when will you ever use me? And the Lord would say unto thee, now is the time for you to rise up. Now is the time for the glory of the Lord to come forth in the house of the Lord. And I would say unto thee, thy season shall not pass thee up, saith the Lord, for I will raise one here and raise one another. But the apostolic shall come forth, for I am beginning to line thee up, saith the Lord. And truly, for the fivefold ministry shall begin to rise like never before. And truly, the word of the Lord shall come forth with the flame and the fire. And the Lord thy God shall begin to change thee even this night, saith the Lord. How many of you know something about the glory of the Lord? I want to recommend a book that's probably in the back there. Brother Humbard, is your book back there? Brother Humbard left. I recommend his book highly about the glory of the Lord. I was blessed with a copy the last time I was here, and I was blessed immensely of what the Lord has done in this brother's life over the years. How many of you know he didn't get here tonight, but when the way he started is not the way he ended up? How many of you know that you're further along now than you were yesterday? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. How many of you know there's a kingdom that must yet be possessed? Yeah. You're about quite a bunch of people. Yes. How about some hallelujah? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. It's camp meeting time. We're going to have church. Yeah. Open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Chapter 4. I feel like I just left church service, drove 6.5 hours to have another service, but I'm excited and I'm anointed. And if you don't praise the Lord, you're going to be annoying. Somebody help me praise the Lord just a little bit. Is this the church of the first frozen? All right, let me get this, folks. You got to help me, Dad. Over here, come on. 1, 2, 3. Let's have a shot for the Lord. And my brother here is going to help me. I understand he's a preacher. All right, 1, 2, 3. Woo, y'all are ready. Say, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. Hallelujah. I have one of these right now words, so you're going to have to bear with me. We'll be here till about at least 10:30, 11. I didn't finish my 12 points last time I was here. I was preaching on Mishmah. And if y'all don't know what Mishmah is, you need to get back there and get that CD. I don't promote myself. It's a word from the Lord. How many of you got something out of Mishmah last time we were here? Did you find out there were some hidden places in your heart that even God don't go? Because you don't let Him in there? Are you with me? It wasn't just for the enemy, but it was for us. I want to address something tonight that I believe is prophetic in nature because it's on the horizon and it has an apostolic input to it. I want to speak on the spirit of Jael. Everybody say Jael. J-A-E-L. And for a subtopic, I want to use the spirit of the liberator. Jael, most of you have never read through the Bible, don't even know where she's located. Don't even know where she lives. Jael, if you please, was an apprentice to Deborah. And Deborah was a mother in Israel. Do we have any mothers here tonight? I'm talking about spiritual moms. And Deborah's name means bee, so we're going to call her Mother Bee. Are you with me? And the second part of her name is attached, means the word. She was Mother Bee, and she had a word. Come on. She was Mother Bee, and she had a word. Now, the Spirit of the Liberator comes to us in this fashion. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord lives in His people. And the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of a Liberator. Now, Deborah was a prophetess, and for some people, they just call her a prophet. And Jael was a warrior. She lived in the tent, minding her own business, but she was a warrior for God. And she'd been known in the arena that we're living that this is the year of Jael. Jael means, and symbolically, means mountain goat. We got any goats in here? I'm looking tall now. But her name means not only mountain goat, her name means to avail, to arise. There has been a gender problem for the last 2,000 years. Ecclesiastical order has taken the ministry of the man. And for most of you, I'm not afraid to tell you tonight, you're sitting here because some woman took some interest in you, who was filled with the Holy Ghost of God, had the fire of God, and invested and impregnated you, imparted the Word of God to you, whether you wanted it or not. Can I get a witness? So the most part, the woman, gender, because in typology she's also known as the church. So the woman, gender, is looked down on. Because no matter of her intelligence or her degrees or her pedigree, she can only be known in the church after the ecclesiastical order as a superintendent or a Sunday school teacher, if you please. I want somebody, when you get to glory, I want you to apologize to Lois and Louise. Because they mothered Timothy in the Bible, who became Paul's son in the gospel. Do I have any sons in here tonight? Do I have any daughters in here tonight? Israel is in a fix that only God can fix. I don't have time to read every scripture and cross every T and dot every I tonight, so you need to listen up. In the mind of God, it was predestined that God would always bring the male and female together, and He said to them in the garden, I've created you, male and female, but further down the road, if you get my drift, I'm a country boy now, He made them one. And in the spirit, we're one gender. We're all sons. You're not going to help me preach, you're not going to help. So here's what's happening. In Israel, Joshua, the successor of Moses, is dead. Judges 1. So now, Israel is very much like the church world. When the cat is gone, the mice will play. So the Bible says, and in Judges chapter 4, verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. When? When Ehud was dead. Ehud means, I will praise or I will give thanks. So symbolically, in touch and shadow, Ehud is the pastor of the church. He's anointed and appointed by God. He was not anointed by the Levites. He was not anointed under the Aaronic priesthood. He's coming from to us with a different nature, with a makeup of a Zadok priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, a priest, is on the horizon with an apostolic thrust. And so whatsoever the Lord said unto thee, with all thy might, do it.
All right. All right. I want to take you into a little contrast teaching, Brother Jim. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. God introduces a woman, a little Shulamite woman. In types and shadows, she means she's perfect picture of a little Christianette. She has been brought up under the tyrants of Pharaoh's army. To loosen up. The legalists told her all her life that she would never amount to anything. They looked at her in the Song of Solomon and he says, your breast is flat like a wall. Means you've never come up to maturity yet. You never amount to anything. You're a woman. You can't be in leadership.
All right.
God had another plan. Everybody say, God had a plan.
God had a plan.
And so, here's what happens. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, God delivers this woman from her culture and her gender. She said, I am black as the horses of Kedar. Had nothing to do with an ethnic group. Had nothing to do with race or creed. Because further down the Song of Solomon, he said, I like them red, I like them black, I like them yellow, I like them brown. They're all together lovely.
So in chapter 1, he delivers a soul. And God's going to deliver a lot of you ladies tonight because I want to tell you a word from the Lord. Woman, thou art liberated. I need a few ladies to help me jump up and testify of the Lord's goodness. I might get my little hula going on. I might feel my little shield, my Micaiah syllable book. I want to tell you, you're loose.
And so the church world has been operating in a dysfunctional society.
All right.
Simply because Ephesians 4:11 said God gave some apostles, prophets, come on, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to line up the Ephesians 4:12, the church to go out and do the work of the ministry. But how can you work if you're a woman?
This didn't start in the book of Solomon. This started in the garden when Adam refused to deliver the woman of his life. He didn't deliver Eve's soul. She decided she'd get her little tradition. She wanted to taste all the apples. Bear with me if my theology is wrong. All right? She wanted to taste different waters. The church, I hope you can hear this, is living in a swing mood mentality. Whatever swings, I'm in the mood. And she has set herself up. Come on, I'm talking to you about heaven's word tonight. She has set herself up as for prostitution. And the woman of God has been prostituted for 2,000 years. And it's time for the real women of God to stand up. I said, stand up.
If it wouldn't be for you, we guys wouldn't be here. If you were like me, you were a coward looking for a place to hide. You was hoping for a mishma.
Come on, you got to help me. We got a long ways to go.
Song of Solomon chapter 2. We get this picture of an excellent woman. She begins to arise in her relationship with her prince. Because remember in chapter 1, he delivers her from gender and from culture by giving her a kiss.
Look at your husband, ladies, and say, pucker up, baby. You're fixing to get kissed.
I can kiss this woman.
She's my queen. She's my Esther. But kiss is the same kiss that the prodigal son got from his father after he killed the fatted calf. I know I'm all over the place, but y'all are a mess tonight. And he gave the boy after he had spent all his money on funny stuff. Fooling around, swinging with the clubs. And felt about as big as a hog when he said, if I have to eat this hog slop, man, I'm getting back in church. I'm getting back to the Father's house because I know in the Father's house, He'll put a coat on me. He'll give me His ring of acceptance. But see, what you don't hear, God is bringing us back full circle.
Yeah.
And the women are rising up to apostolic authority. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't kiss you on the second one yet. So He gives us a kiss of acceptance. And He loves us just the way we are. Read the book. But the second kiss comes with a kiss of affirmation. So when the woman arises and she's flat-chested and she's immature and she doesn't really know what she believes, all of a sudden she begins to have this excellent spirit about her. Because now she's been affirmed by her prince. The same God that came from the Galilean Judean hills and said, when I kiss you, baby, I'm promising you, when I come back, I wish I had a coat tonight, I'm going to throw my coat on you. I'm going to throw my mantle on you. I'm going to cover you.
Yeah.
I covered you in the garden, performed the first sacrifice. And who cares what kind of animal it was? It was a bloody mess. And without the blood, we'll continue to fight and bicker and operate in strife. Because in Israel, in this text we're in, in Judges 4, they had been oppressed because they were without a leader for 20 years. Song of Solomon chapter 3, we find that she's developing and becoming aggressive. Say aggressive. Guys, weren't you aggressive when you met her for the first time? What happened to your aggressiveness? And relationships. She began to have a real intimacy. This is where the church needs to come. To have a real intimacy with the Father. Because being an apostle of the Lord is more than having a title or having your name written up and placed on a plaque on the board. It means that the first thing that has to happen to you after you become the friend of God and the son of God, you come into servanthood. God sent us here to serve humanity.
Yeah.
Not to serve the deacon board.
Hallelujah.
Or the ecclesiastical orders of the Levites who were nothing but Pharisaical, Sadducees, legalistic bunch of rhetoric, Babylonian garbage.
All right, preach it.
It's ludicrous that the year 2006, we don't understand the Bible more than we do right now. We ought to be further along down the road. Because see, the book of Judges is a prototype of an apostleship. Judges rule.
Oh, you're not going to help me preach. I'm going to go preach to Brother Glenn.
Judges rule.
Yeah.
Let me give you the 5 G's of Ephesians 4. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Apostles govern.
Okay.
Somebody say okay.
Okay.
My preacher's helping me here.
All right.
Prophets guide.
Yeah. Okay.
Evangelists gather. Pastors, guard. I'm looking at you, Mike. Teachers, ground. What a effective ministry. But now, the nation of Israel, because it was not in alignment with what God wanted, they were still having problems with the female gender. By the order of the old priesthood. But God had brought us in sundry time to another dimension where the woman of God will begin to rise up and take her place.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to tell you, ladies, step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Is it hot in here or is it just me?
Chapter 4, Song of Solomon. We're almost done.
With introduction.
We have a liberated woman. She is now liberated in her relationship with the Father. The church is coming into a relationship of servanthood, which has a tone of apostolic input. When the apostles, the real apostles, not the appointed ones, not the ones you get from internet. Apostles like Paul, Peter, and all the brothers, the 12 Jesus named, he named them. The ecclesiastical church didn't give them the title. And every time Paul addresses a letter, he says, Paul, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, an apostle by the order of God. You don't need a title, honey. All you need is to allow that anointing that is in you to surface. This thing too bad, I'll put them back on. Now, so we just about got this woman free now, but she has freedom. She has freedom to love, and not perverted love. Somebody shout agape. This means that there's false submission doctrine. I might as well get them all while I'm at it. Shoot every dog. That a woman has to submit to her man. Because the man said so. All right. I got news for you. This woman don't submit to me because I said so. She submits because we are in agreement. Because the Lord said so. And it has to line up. It has to line up with the Word. Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and we know they had a lot of problems. But at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, we don't have a problem. And he said, not. We have a whole lot of instructors. We have a whole lot of pastors and teachers and evangelists. But somehow, they're afraid of the thumb and the first finger. Isn't that interesting? But isn't it God that told him in Exodus 19, I'm going to pass over your door. And I'm going to anoint it with blood. Yeah. Then he told, get Aaron and get Moses in here. I want to meet with you, Bubba.
Yeah.
I want to anoint your right earlobe. Yeah. Pull your right earlobe. Yeah. That's for you to hear God.
Yeah.
And I want to anoint your right thumb. Everybody say, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Put your hands to the plow. Don't be looking over your right or your left, what your brother's doing or your sister doing or they're not doing. Stay focused.
Yeah. Okay.
Then he said, anoint the right big toe. The feet speak of your conduct.
Yeah. There you go.
The problem we haven't noticed in the church, we haven't seen a whole lot of apostles, real apostles, because their character stink. I'm setting you up, so you just go along with me. So far, you're doing good. You got delivered from culture and gender. You're excellent. You're aggressive. You're liberated. Now you're beginning to have becoming a woman after God's heart. Listen to this statement. She lost her veil, but she didn't lose her dignity. I wish there'd be some pastors in this church, some pastors in the 21st century that would have enough gall to stand up and take the veil, the false covering of your head.
Yeah. All right now. Yeah.
God is your Father. He's your covering. Chapter
6, he finds that she's delightful. Ladies, look at your husband and say, I'm delightful whether you like it or not. Thank you, honey.
She's now comforted in the fact that he is never far away. He's become the lover of her soul and her heart. And she continues to develop in chapter 7 because the woman now is clothed in righteousness. It's time for her to step up to the plate. Her anointing is beginning to make a difference in her life.
Right.
And in chapter 8, they close the book. Her heart is sealed. She's no longer a slave. She went from slavery to friendship, to sonship, to servant of all.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready for the rest of the story?
Yeah.
All right. This is so fresh I had to write it down. First of all, the spirit of the liberator must be developed. And the reason that the church is in the shape that she's in, she refuses to be corrected. We have all these patty cake pastors. I'm a pastor, but I'm not patty caking. I've got church folks sitting on this front row tonight, and they'll tell you, if you need to be reproved, I'm going to do it in the right spirit. You're going to get it. Because what my daddy didn't do for me, I'm going to do for you. I'm going to deliver your soul.
Okay.
2 Timothy 3:16 says, for all the word of God is inspired for correction, for reproof, for doctrine. And the reason I'm so strong on the apostle tonight is Ephesians 2:20. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Nothing can be laid other than by the apostles and the prophet, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
He stands erect by himself.
Yeah.
He's God all by himself. Yeah. I feel a preaching coming on. He don't need your help. He's God all by himself.
Yeah.
Beyond all your shouting, you better be listening to what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. I'm glad for the shout, but let me tell you, listen to what God is speaking to us. I came here, I may never be invited again, but I'm going to take my good shot at it. Invitations never changed my heart or my mind. I count it a privilege to be here in Lake Hamilton, but I count it a privilege to be a family. Pastor Glenn has been pastoring over my life for over 20 years, one way or another. And he promised me as long as I behave, he'd never put me down. Y'all know what's downstairs? You think it's hot up here? It's hell down there. Only when the seasons change. And we had a nice storm a few years ago, and it was the only means of heat. I preached from this podium with a Latin. Boy, was it anointed. Sorry about it, but we didn't get a tape. You should have been here. Y'all need to relax. The spirit of the liberator must be developed, and we look at it in the example of you got to show and tell. If you got the goods... Ladies, men, it's time for you to step up to the plate.
Okay.
Drop down to verse 5, Judges 4. Remember Ehud, he's the type of pastor. He said, I will give thanks, I will give praise. He's a descendant of Benjamin. So in chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. How many of you have a palm tree ministry? Judges chapter 4, verse 5, I'm reading from the King James Version. The true translation of the Bible. I'm being hermeneutically correct. I want you to cross all your T's and dot all your I's, you Bible scholars. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Been there, done that, done bought that T-shirt, right? And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She is a mother of mothers in Israel. She is not only a judge, she has an apostolic input. All the soldiers, all the generals, all those in the military came to her. Now it was not God's choice, or it was her choice to sit under the palm tree. This is where she found her element. You may never be on television. You may be the best kept secret in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
All right.
But you will have to develop. I don't care if it's under a palm tree or a juniper tree. But it's unique. I'm big on symbolisms. It's unique that she developed under the palm tree. Why not the oak tree? How about some South Louisiana trees, some pecans? Or pecans? How's your discernment or your discernment? See, we have different cultures. But the palm tree... it's symbolic of victory. It has an understanding tied to its nature that is not only firm, it can withstand high winds. And because it stands so erect, it has an apostolic forefront. She doesn't need a whole lot of branches to have a little fruit in her life. She doesn't need all the other judges to agree with her.
Uh-huh.
Now she has to come in by divine order.
Yeah.
How many of you know there's such a thing? Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Everything must be done decently and in. And so the hand of God, which is the fivefold ministry, is the alignment factor to bring the body of Christ into an understanding that it's time for the apostles, especially the women, to rise up. And there's nothing that you're going to ever do and develop without adversity. I'm not going to preach to you, brother. I'm not going to do it. If you don't have adversity, you can't have fruit. The limbs of the trees that are moving side by side because of the wind are not affecting the root system. Because the fruit is in the root. In due time, it will come forth and blossom. Come on, give the Lord praise tonight. So, quickly, now we got to move quickly. First of all, the spirit of the liberator must be developed by one thing. You got to praise to get a raise. If you don't praise God in the midst of your adversary, you're going to get your teeth knocked out. You're going to fall flat on your buttocks. And God's not going to offer that as an offering. And you can wind. Just like this river we're coming up with, the river of Kisha. You can keep winding and whining all the days of your life. But unless you confront your enemy, you will never have the goods. And unless the church begins to accept the divine order of God, we will never come to a full understanding of the magnificent glory and how He wants to magnify Himself in the midst of the people. God's not interested to come to visit us. He's interested to come and live with us. See, as long as you continue to hang at Pentecost. Got any Pentecostals in here? I said Pentecost. Pennies. Pentecost. Listen up. We can keep by our campfires. We can sing the old songs and play the harp by the willow trees and remember our captivity in Zion, in Babylon. But it's time for us to sing a new song. It's a new season. And if I get to preach again, I'm going to preach to you about the Kairos season that we're in. It's a new season. And I want you to know something. That the clouds that are stayed with dew is because you haven't come into a clear understanding of how to really praise God, to get a raise, and to worship Him with all of your heart. When you praise Him, you go up. And when you worship Him, He enables you. Then you can be like the Caleb and say, give me that mountain. His eyes were not dim. His ears were not dull. When everybody was scary cat, he said, God, give me a mountain. I'll take it. Notice that the little Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon, I'm just going to paraphrase, she didn't do very well in her ignorance. Ignorance means darkness. But she went from ignorance to illumination. And she began to develop. Remember David was the shepherd boy? He went from playing the harp to tending few sheep to killing bears and lions and finally Goliath. His destiny was to be a king. Do we have any kings in the house? Do we have any priests in the house? Is there a king in you tonight? Secondly, she developed under the palm tree. We talked about that. And she was betwixt and between Rhema, which is the hill and elevation, and between the house of God. You're not going to get spiritual. You can memorize that book. Spiritual and elevated when you spend time in the presence of the Father. What the Father can do in 30 seconds. It took me 30 years to preach the best sermon I thought I could preach. But only in a few moments. It'll bring you over the adversity. I need to move along. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:29, are all we all apostles? Are we all apostles? No. But the Bible says we're more than conquerors in Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we can do all that. Psalms 92:12, I'm paraphrasing. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like cedar, which is purification, and a firm tree in Lebanon, which is whiteness, speaks of the righteousness of God. Fourthly, develop in your anointing. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 30. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Did you ever hear about evangelists having a conference? The apostles having a conference? Pastors having a conference? Having a teacher's conference? But I bet you'd never heard of a compound anointing conference. When God brings you, man or woman, male or female, and He brings you to the apothecary. Excuse me for spitting on you, it's anointed. Pharmacists have what they call an apothecary. And they take the chemical and they crush it up and turn it into power powder form. And they blend it and then liquefy it so you can't tell one pill from the other. Can you imagine coming to a compound anointing conference and you can't tell an apostle because of his title from a prophet, from an evangelist, to a pastor, to a teacher, because we've all been blended in.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The reason I'm giving you some of this history, some of you are going to hear a whole lot more about this in the future. You see, God gave Moses an instruction. It's an instruction. Go down to Exodus 30:22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses. Remember, he's going to build a tabernacle. You don't want that tabernacle smelling like old sheepskin and all them nasty badger skins and everything else. Got to have some kind of aroma. But beyond the aroma, God was interested in the principle of ingredients. And notice in this verse 23, there are five main ingredients. Brother Jim, you're going to like this. I hope you take it and preach it. It says that, take thou also unto this principal spices of pure myrrh. Myrrh is the apostolic spice. It's a sacred oil. Myrrh is the woman that came to Jesus. Come on. With an alabaster box. Yeah. The disciples was against him. They didn't want to know that he was going to spend, that she was going to spend that kind of money on some special precious oil. And when she broke the box, she anointed his feet.
Yeah.
Speak! Speak of your conduct! Because he was apostolic in nature. He was the apostle of faith.
Yes. Amen.
But in John chapter 12, verses 3, another woman shows up. A woman. Can y'all beat that? Did I say woman?
Yes.
Woman! Yes. Came to Jesus with another spice, a spikenard, another myrrh, apostolic, apostle anointing spice. And she anointed his head.
All right.
So what flows from the head trickles down to the feet. And so the church is the feet of the Lord.
Yes.
At the Feast of Tabernacles.
I just can't keep up with my mind. The next spice is cinnamon. We use a lot of cinnamon in this world. Well, isn't that interesting? It's the prophet's fragrance. And it has to do with drip drop. Here's another prophet. Joel chapter 3, verse 18. And the new wine shall drop out of the mountains.
Yes.
Prophetic utterance of drip, drop. When you're in the presence of God, you have an unction.
You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. But if you have a real prophet's mental, you have to be able to see what's happening now and futuristic.
Okay.
Are there any prophets in the room? Or do we have a bunch of cowards?
Okay.
What was that thing we had 2000? Everything was going to go out, computers and all.
Y2K. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm whining like a baby. God, where are the prophets? TBN don't have them. CNN don't have them. CBN don't have them. Christian Broadcast does not have them. They're selling a bunch of stuff. Trinkets. Generators. Food. Dehydrated machines. Where's the prophet? And he said, where are you? Stand up and prophesy against it.
All right.
And I did. And I was not welcomed.
All right.
The bishop told me, he said, don't you ever come back to my church and prophesy that. I taught my people to put up stuff for 7 years. I said, you put them back in bondage. You put them trusting in man and what man can do.
Deborah was a prophet. She judged under the palm tree.
We're not done. Calamus is the evangelist. He has a measuring reed. He brings redemption to the crowd as he ministers the word of God to them. Kaseya is the pastor. He's the one that bows down. Did you know, pastors, that you're supposed to be leading the worship? Did you know you're supposed to be leading the worship in your church? Not the guy that you hired and paying him $500 a week.
Yeah.
And draining your budget. My wife is a pastor. She leads praise and worship. And she'll tell you she can't sing herself out of a bucket. I could care less. What she can do is to bring in the anointing in the presence of God in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
I was in a Pentecostal church of God and she, this pastor had this woman, bless her heart, Sister Motormouth. She knew everything. She knew if God moved to the left or to the right. So about midweek, after a whole week of revival, he pastor says to me, can you tell me what's wrong? I said, yeah, are you looking at it? And she'd take that hymn book and she'd start singing out of the hymn book and the anointing would just drift out of the sanctuary. I'm not against hymn books. He said, what can I do? I said, you see all these young people that practice every night before service, play the drum, the guitar, and the sing. They're anointed. They're the Joshua generation. You need to equip them and develop them. He said, I'm going to have to get out on a limb. I said, get on a limb. Because if you don't, I'm leaving tomorrow. There's no knowing. You called me. I didn't call you. Oh, what about your offering? Who cares? The offering doesn't supply my need. I'm helping some of you, preacher. You better cheer me on tonight. Come on. Now, and so then the teacher comes in and he has the olive oil. He's the anointing teacher. He brings everything into perspective. And I don't have 12 points. I'm just joking. Two more points, we're done. Spirit of the Liberator operates in their calling. Well, I want to be an apostle. Go ahead. I want to be a prophet. Go ahead. You can be whatever you want to be. But if God didn't anoint you to be, you're not going to be. Deborah was a bee because God appointed her as a judge who was developing into a true apostolic input. Where am I, Brother Jim? Go back to Judges 4. Jim's helping me tonight. My brother, a brother in time of need. In chapter 4, verse 6, notice that she sent and called Barak. His name means thunder. You remember those boys in the New Testament? Sons of thunder. I will call fire down from heaven. You better get a little fire in your life first. Oh, if I could get this prophet to prophesy to me for $150 or $150, all of my problems would be solved. You'd be better off playing it in the jukebox. Buy this anointing. You have to develop in it. Man, I got out of Bible college. I was fit to be tied. You hear me? I was a word man. How about 15 or 20 pages of just scripture? You come to hear the word, I'm going to give you the word. And everybody left mad. Couldn't figure it. But God was developing something. So notice when she sat and called Barak, she began to speak some things into his life. I have a spiritual mother. She called me at 7:15 this morning. She said, son, you're going to a place and you're going to go and preach your word. It's a mandate that come from heaven. Don't despise the day of small thing and know that it's going to be through much adversity. They're going to sit there and smile at you, but inside they're ravening wolves. They're mad. Who is that little whippersnapper from Louisiana come tell me my wife don't have to submit to me and that she can be an apostle, a leader in the church? God knows that she's anointed to be a Sunday school teacher. Let me tell you who came first. That's why we have problems. If the woman would have come first, they'd be a little more submissive than you, Bubba. He calls the male gender. He is corporately working with the judge. He's not working against her. She is, in prototype, a spiritual mother, if you please. So this is why I write little notes on my pages like, you got to function with your unction. So, okay, wait a minute. I'm going too fast for you. Let's back up for you that are taking notes. The Spirit of the Liberator operates in their calling. Deborah's calling aided her to cross over barriers. You plowed, but I'm bringing you back to the blacksmith. In the forge, and I'm going to cause the steel to be blued. And I'm going to sharpen you and keep sharpening you. I'm advancing you in the day, for the adversary shall come. And those that will reject you will be those of your own house. But I say unto you, I prophesy to you tonight, son, don't look at the adversary. Look at me. You are a liberator. 1 John 2:20 says we have an unction from the Holy Ghost. The apostles have this element about them that can get both sides together. The true apostles that God is raising up, they're going to be able to cross over denominational wall because you got the good. You can go show and tell. All right. And you can leave your degrees at home. Well, brother, you know, if you'd let us make you a doctor of theology, we would increase your offerings by at least 5,000. I said, really? I told my wife, I said, are you ready? I'm done. Ask her. We went in the bishop's office. He said, it would increase your offering. I said, I'm not interested in the offering. I'm interested in building a people that make up the church. And they can take their community and they can take their world for Jesus because he's coming back. and he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. Pastor Glenn said, you can fly away if you want to. So notice the second thing that happens, I'm going to paraphrase, you got to go with the flow. So he takes him to the river Kishon, which means winding. There are many curves and obstacles going through this river. It's vehement in nature. And going through these curves, ladies, what help you by going exercising at curve? This obstacle course is designed by God. And if you're tired of going around the mountain, it's time for you to step up to the plate and say, I'm a woman of God, I'm anointed, I'm called, and I'm not hauled.
We got a few women that are excited, honey. Maybe we'll give them part two next time, huh? It was a mighty river. It had seasonal rains. Did you ever feel like the Lord was raining on your parade? Have you ever been in a moment in your life when you say, Lord, it's enough rain. I got a word for you. It's not enough. God says it's enough. You know, it's a whole lot easier to travel going with the current than upstream. Not everybody's going to get on this because not everybody wants to hear it. This flow was so massive in this river that if you read in chapter 5, it overthrew the enemy. It came over their shores and overtook them. Now these boys showed up with 900 men. Somebody say 900. That's a whole lot of folk. I mean, I'd like to pastor a church with 900 people. Wouldn't you, brother? My God, people are overcoming the spirit of liberator. They are jumping and dancing and shouting for the Lord. Glory to God. That looks like a whole bunch of folk. But what they didn't know, God had 10,000 that's going to march with Barak, the son of thunder. 10 is the number of divine order, divine perfection. 1,000 means maturity. Did you get that? 1,000 means maturity. In between this, Deborah, the prophet, comes to Barak and says, I need for you to do this because the Lord set it all up. He said, what do you mean set it all up? You're the judge. Everybody say, here comes the judge. He said, I'll go if you go with me. How many of you ever told your pastor, you know I'm going to go, but you got to come with me. She said, I will go with you. But if I go with you, the honor will not be yours. And let it be known in all Israel that God has delivered the enemy in the hands. Oh, were you ready to shout? A woman! Come on, stand up and shout! A woman! Yeah, we got a few guys that hanging with us, ladies. Hey, we're in there, brother. And so, your calling will help get rid of the tyrants, the terrorists in your life. Brother, we ain't got no terrorists in the church. Excuse me? You better go back and read the book of Philippians. Paul called them concision. They were terrorist creatures. They come to you and have a 14-day revival. Now, you know you're already saved. This is classic Pentecost. You know you're already saved, right? So you got, after the first night, you got 13 more nights to get to the altar because he's going to preach to you till you get there. And he said, the Lord would say unto thee, thou art a Jezebel. Thou hast earrings on your Bibles and you have makeup. Your hair is like a bun. I sin in the camp. I'm telling you tonight, repentance, there's sin here. You know, you feel bad enough after 14 services, you decide, I might as well get saved. They're legalists. They're terrorists. They scare people into salvation. You know, somebody might scare you into something, but you're not going to live with it all your life. You're going to get over it. And you're going to forget about the preacher. See, the callings have benefits. God delivered into her hand. Verse 7. But the calling operates with others. Verse 8. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, I want you to know this. You're not a Long Island duck. Say, I'm not a Long Island duck. Number 3, we're done. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The spirit of the liberator, courageous and wise. I want to give you 5 things and then we're going to close. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Secondly, the wisdom over the enemy. Thirdly, wisdom to serve. Fourthly, wisdom to obey judges. Fifthly, wisdom when to strike. The first one. The Bible said in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise, perceptive, as serpents and harmless," which means pure and unmixed, "as doves." A perfect picture of a religious spectrum of a loving, submissive woman.
Yes, honey, whatever you want.
Because men have Ephesians 5 her all her life. I'm the head, you better submit. It's my way or the highway. You guys never said that, honey. The problem here, to be wise as serpents and harmless as dove, it was unlawful, Brother Humbard, to go into the tent, another man's tent, without his presence being there. That was dishonoring his house.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, Sisera, he's the general of Jabin's army. Now, Barak's done a good job. They wiped him out, but he ran away.
Uh-huh.
Said the devil's on the loose. But the spirit of the liberator shall find him.
Yes,
he walks up to her tent and says, "Jael, the general's here." She knows better than this. She says, "Come in, my lord. Come in here, sugar plum. You foxy dude. You are looking good. I know you're tired, honey. Let me wipe your old feet and soften them up with a little water. You want a little drink? You want some milk? Lay down and I'm going to cover you with my cloak. I know you're tired." She's dealing with the devil. She's playing in the devil's orchard. But what the devil doesn't know, she is wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. She has wisdom. When God sends you to these denominations, then you're a woman. Bring wisdom with you. He's your traveling companion. Wisdom over the enemy. Not self-recognition, not self-proclaimed. She said, "Don't be afraid." She's not being forceful. She's being harmless. I'll do you like we do in South Louisiana. She goes, "Oh, shasha, baby. Oh, shasha. You tired, my baby? Come, your mama going to fix you something to eat. You want some fried chicken? Cornbread and beans? You know you love it. Fresh goat's milk." But what Sisera didn't know, she was an apprentice of the judge. What the devil didn't know, and the general didn't know, that she was an apprentice to an apostle in Israel. She was a mother. People came to her for judgment and counsel.
Yeah.
But she didn't have a mega church. Her ministry took place under the palm tree. And all the while she's plowing, she's just stroking him, Cheryl. "Oh, honey, so baby. Oh, you're so cutie pie. You're a cute thing." And she hears a sound. Everybody, a sound. She heard something in the spirit and she observed it. And this is what I believe. Hypothetically. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. I'm going to kill you just in time. She's working the work, Sister Cheryl. Sister Bat, she's working the work. This is just as good as the worms, ain't it? Then she has wisdom to serve. In verse 19, she serves with patience. He says, "You know that I love you. I can't help myself. I love you and nobody else." That's what I got from my singing in the ballroom years ago. Now, he says, "I pray thee." Can you imagine? Who's he praying to? Not Jehovah. "Give me a little water." The Bible says little is much. "Bring me a little glass of milk." Wisdom to serve. Because when you heard something from the Lord, that Hebrew word means he's observing you. He wants to see what you're going to do with what you heard. Y'all with me? Say, uh-huh. Now, just a little bit. And she acts so cool, calm, and collective. Nothing's going to happen. He goes fast asleep. And the fifth wisdom is when to strike. In verse 21, he is now sleeping, and Jael, the mountain goat, the availer, the warrior, the spirit of the liberator, Heber's wife, his name means torch. She's got a hot husband at home. What's she looking at? This man laying in her bed. What you talking about? Having somebody laying in your bed. Ain't got no business. Monkey shining in your house. She took a nail
A tent peg. She got a hammer and she aimed. He was laying flat. She found the temple of his head, which is the lean flesh, the softest part of the bone. And she took the peg and she killed that old stronghold, strong man spirit, Brother Glenn. She drove the peg with the hammer. Whoom! That the peg went through and through and stuck into the earth.
Amen.
How in the world did she do that? The hammer is the word of God. She took the two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12, principle. The nail was a fastening tool, the wooden peg, sharp like a two-edged sword. And the temple was like lean flesh. And in closing, listen to this. Jael's success was during her apprenticeship when she was being developed. She learned to operate in her calling. She was courageous and wise. So I leave you with this thought. How can I rise up to my potential and be a liberator, being a female or a male? Matthew 19:31 says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Learn to serve, become a servant of all."
Yes.
Say this three times with me. Woman,
woman,
thou art liberated.
Thou art liberated.
Woman,
woman, thou art liberated.
Woman,
woman,
thou art liberated. Close your Bible, stand to your feet. Let me lead you into a confession of faith before we close. Say this with me. Men and women, I will never again,
be afraid
of man.
I will not submit
to false authority and false anointing.
I'm liberated.
I'm a woman of God.
I'm born again.
I'm destined
for success
because I'm liberated
and I'm loose
and I break
the spirit
of the strong man
of legalism
and false priesthood
over my life,
and I accept
and embrace
the priesthood of God
in my life.
I'm now
a priest,
woman,
blood washed,
anointed
woman
of God.
Give the Lord a praise offering.
Six o'clock, you warriors.
Hallelujah.
Prayer time. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Go in peace. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.